name that is most wonderful. And if you see in the book of Genesis, you know, God, He loved us so much. He loved the believers so much that He made the world for man and gave the world to man. I mean, who can do that? Just God creating the world and saying, man, here, this is yours. And you find this in Psalm 115, verse 16. Go through a lot of scriptures today. 115, verse 16 says, the heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth He has given to the children of men. Given to us. This earth He has given to us, to His children. And not only that, He also is going to give us His kingdom. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 25, verse 34, the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Wow. Isn't that amazing? As a kingdom that is prepared for us, for the foundation of the world, that is ready for us, for His elect children. This is so wonderful. But the greatest work, what God has given us, the best miracle out of all this will go beyond our minds, is giving His Son to us. That is the most wonderful work. This is the miracle of incarnation. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. We saw that world today. It doesn't mean the whole world, but God so loved His chosen, the ones who are going to believe in Him, that He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believe in Him. Whosoever, meaning whether it's in the Philippines or China or what, India or America, whosoever in those countries, trust in Him, will not perish but have everlasting life. This is the greatest gift God has given us, salvation. That's above everything, any other thing. But there are so many people, you know, especially when it comes to Christmas, they see Christ, but they don't see this greatest miracle. They are really in what you call more like stupidity, you know, and they are unmoved of this most greatest miracle. And if we can only spend time and meditate and admire Christ and of His miraculous Christ, we will be greatly blessed. Christ is God-man. And His name is the most wonderful name. And if you see He's the glorious one. Because in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, He's the brightness of God. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. 1:3 says, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty. Wow. He's the brightness of Father's glory and express. It's the same image of His person. So the blind people, they are not really blind, physically blind, but they don't see that brightness. Only the chosen ones will see that brightness and adore Him. And in Isaiah 53 verse 2, if you turn to Isaiah 53:2, He shall grow up before Him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground, and He has no form of comeliness. When we see Him, there's no beauty that we should desire Him. So, the blind will see and look at Him, the unregenerated, when they look at him and say, this Christ has no beauty in him. This is the carpenter's son. How can he be Christ? He's not handsome. He's not good looking. Cannot be Christ, because there's no outward beauty in Christ that anybody will desire or get attracted to his beauty. But John, on the other hand, the regenerated, they will see his beauty. They will see his glory. If you turn with me to John chapter 1, verse 14. 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his what? Glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So only the regenerated, we will see his glory, his beauty. But the unbelievers, it's foolishness. There's no beauty that will attract them to Christ. He is our incarnate Redeemer. Well, if you see in the Old Testament, the prophets in the Old Testament, they excelled in some areas when some people excelled in other areas. For instance, Moses was, they said that Moses is a very meek man. So Moses excelled in his meekness. And we see, like Samson, he excelled in his strength. Then we see Solomon, he excelled in his wisdom. But Christ, he excelled in all. He excelled in all. If you turn with me, there was no blemish in him. There's no lacking in Christ. He excelled in everything. If you turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask you that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and in all understanding. It's because of Christ. And in Christ, there's everything. And in chapter 2, verse 3 says, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So there's everything in Christ. And Christ, there are sons of men, you know, but Christ, when Christ is among the sons of men, he's like a standard bearer. He's among 10,000, you know, I mean, he's far above than any other sons of men. He's worth more than 10,000. If you turn with me to Song of Solomon 5, verse 16, his mouth is more sweet. Yes, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. And he is fairer, his mouth is full of grace when he speaks, full of excellence. And he is the beloved of the Father. And even the water, if you can remember, the first miracle of Christ was he turned the water into wine. Even the water that he turned into wine was better than wine itself. So whatever he does is the best. It's excellent. And if you turn with me to Psalm chapter 73, verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside you. There is none upon earth that I desire beside you, beside Christ. We should desire only Christ. And there is nobody on earth that we should desire beside Christ. And Paul saw this in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Paul said, yet indeed I also count all things lost for excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Nobody on earth who is so much excellent than Christ that we should desire. And there is an attractive glory in Christ. There's a beauty in Christ. It's not the outward beauty, it's the inner beauty. And His name is so wonderful. And if you turn with me to Song of Solomon, back again, verse 9. What is your beloved more than another beloved, or fairest among women? Then he says, what is your beloved more than another beloved that you so charge us? That means all eyes should look for Him. He is more than another beloved. He is more than another beloved. It is a sight that everyone should desire to see, because He is more than another beloved. He is more than another beloved. All our eyes should fix upon Christ Himself. And if you remember, even the Father's eyes was fixed on Christ when He was on earth. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, He is called the Beloved. Matthew 3:17. When Jesus, when He came to be baptized, the Holy Spirit, He descended like a dove. Then in verse 17 says, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is My beloved Son, whom I will please. See, all the Old Testament prophets were looking for this. The Beloved. Who is this Beloved above all other beloveds? They were looking for Him. Now the voice came down from heaven and said, this is My beloved, whom I am well pleased. Amazing, huh? And He's the beloved Son. And the eyes of the Holy Spirit are upon Him. And if you turn with me to Zechariah chapter 3, verse 9. 3:9 says, for behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon the stones are seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave its inscription, says the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity that land in one day. So here we'll see upon the stone as the rock, that's Christ, are seven eyes. And if you turn with me to Revelation chapter 5, verse 6. Look, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, stood in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns, and how many eyes? Seven eyes, which are of the seven spirit of God sent out of the earth. Man, everybody is desiring to look for Christ. Even the Father's eyes were fixed upon Christ. And He is the Lamb that was slain. And He is in the midst of the elders. And even the living creatures are bowing down to Him. Even the angels are drawn to this most wonderful name. Even if we can remember when we were studying today in the mercy seat, and just the mercy seat is a good picture of Christ, right? And just across the mercy seat are two cherubims, right? Looking at the mercy seat. Even the angels are desiring to look for that, for the most wonderful name, Christ. Even the angels were looking for Christ, for that day that He would come and die for us, for our sins. They were even looking for that. And we see in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, Peter talking on this. 1 Peter 1:12, to them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Wow. How blessed we are. Christ did not die for the angels. He died for us. He reconciled us. Even the angels were looking. They desired to look into. It's amazing. All the eyes of the saints, the Christians, are drawn to Christ, are fixed on Christ, because our object is Christ, nothing else. We admire Christ with affection. You know, once an unbeliever looks at Christ and doesn't see anything, you know, then Christ will open the mind of the unbeliever. A good story is, if you remember the story at John, the Samaritan woman, John chapter 4 verse 10. Christ was talking to her. Turn with me to John chapter 4. She thought Christ was just a regular person. She didn't know whom he was talking to. But verse 10 we'll see, Jesus answered her and said, if you knew the gift of God and knew who it is who says to you, if you only know who is talking to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. But once the woman's blindness was gone, wow, her whole life was changed, because she knew whom she talked to. Amazing. But all the eyes of all the people are not upon Christ, because they don't know him. That's a sad story. And they are not capable of seeing the glory of Christ. But in Psalm chapter 9 verse 10 says that they know his name will put trust in him. If you know Christ, you will put your trust in him. It's only to they that know him. You know, true believers, we cannot be bribed for our love to Christ. We cannot boast of ourselves. We cannot be frightened because of Christ, for our love to Christ. And you can see this, how so many people, they gave their lives. They were hung, they were given to the lions to be eaten alive. They were crucified, they were stoned. And nothing could stop their love for Christ. Because Christ is the most wonderful name above any other name. So our love for Christ is an everlasting love. It's an everlasting love. It never ends. It grows all the way through. Usually when we meet with somebody, you know, and we become friends, and we, wow, I like that person, you know. Then once we get to know the person a little bit, then you see after a while, oh, some defects in that person, some faults in that person, right? Oh, man. Then you come to come really close, you see more faults in that person. That's not the way with Christ. The more we get to know him, the more we glorify him. The more we see his glory, it's just the opposite. And nothing can keep us quiet. Because the more we discover him, the more we study on him, the more we will love him. It's just the opposite. And what compels us? It's Christ's love is the one that compels us for everything. Love of the world cannot compel us at all. It's love of Christ that compels us to do anything for him, and to witness, and to preach, and to study. It's everything focused around the love of Christ. Now, Christ is God. and also Christ is man. It's the most wonderful thing to know is how God created man out of clay. That's a miracle. How God created man out of clay, a living soul is created out of the earth. That's the most, I imagine, cannot comprehend. It's a miracle. But the greatest miracle is that out of clay, you know, Christ was, he is man, fully man, and also he's fully God. That is even more a miracle. He's called the Everlasting Father in the book of Isaiah. You know, we are finite. Christ is a man, but also he is infinite. And this is where finite and infinite meet in one. This is amazing. That's why he is above anybody else. In Psalm chapter 45 verse 2 says, you are fairer than the sons of men. It doesn't mean the color. Okay, it means the inner beauty. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever. There was grace upon Christ. And you can see this in Luke chapter 4, verse 22. In the New Testament, chapter 4, verse 22. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. What did Psalm say? Because Psalm, thou art fairer than all the children of men. Grace is poured unto his lips. He is spotless. He is unchangeable in his holiness. The fullness of the Spirit and the holiness is in Christ. Of course, there are much huge saints you find in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, you know, men of faith, strong men of faith, but they all lacked something. They were not, they had their sins. But the brightest of all the saints without any spots, and you don't find any sin in Christ, any darkness in him. Christ is above everybody else. He is the perfect, perfect. If you want to see perfection, it is in Christ. If you see in the words he spoke, you know, in Song of Solomon chapter 5 verse 16, I think we read this. So sweet, and he's altogether lovely. So the words that, the very words of Christ is the most gracious words. He is the eternal Son of God. Also, he is the Prince and the Kings of the earth. And his name is most wonderful. And his love for us is unchangeable. If you see in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 6, Ephesians 1 6 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. How he accepted us. Every believing soul, every believing Christian loves Christ above anybody else. Every person loves Christ more than her husband, more than his wife, more than their children. They will love him more than all the beauties of the world. Love Christ. They will even love Christ more than they love themselves. Because Christ is all in all for us. In Luke chapter 14 verse 26, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his mother, father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. That means we love Christ more than our father, more than our mother, more than our wife, our wives, more than our children, more than our brothers, more than our sisters, and more than myself. Amazing. And we see sometimes when we love somebody, if we are parting with somebody, we feel so, you know, there is sad tears, you know, especially if you go to the airport, you will see a lot of sorrow and joy, you know, somebody coming to meet you or somebody parting, and you will see that. But I'll tell you, the martyrs, they parted with their lives, and no tears came to them to part with this world. No tears to look and say, oh my, I'm leaving everything here. How can I die? All the wealth that I know, they were glad to die because they love Christ more than anything else. They embrace the fires. The world was a loss. Big loss. Everything was a loss here for gaining Christ. And the greatest gainer you find is to gain Christ. Whatever they lose, you're losing for the world. That's why Apostle Paul, Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, is so beautiful. Paul, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was a very proud man. He had everything. He had the education, knowledge, and everything. He was a pretty smart guy. But God knocked him down. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 and 8 says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss for all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Wow. He suffered for that excellent name. He was shipwrecked, stoned, ridiculed. He was punished by the world. But he said, wow, I'm gaining Christ. That's the best thing we can do. And we see the dreadful sinfulness. The sin is so dreadful, it's dangerous. And when we see the excellency of Christ, the beauty of Christ, then when we see sin, but still if you refuse Him, how can we escape or neglect such a great salvation? That's why in Proverbs, you don't have to turn with me, Proverbs 23:26 says, my son, give your heart. Give thine heart. Make him, you know, the only thing that we love is nothing else but Christ alone. We got to part with everything, all what we love. We got to part. And we got to be in Christ. And Matt, you know, we got to give up our lusts. We got to give up our idols. We got to give the world. We got to give up our material things. We got to give our cravings. And we got to give everything that we love. And we need to rest in Christ for all eternity. We need to admire Him. We need to be swallowed up in Christ, in His love. And we need to set our souls upon Him. Once we do that, we will be obedient to Him. Well, what can you compare? All the worlds, the beauties of the world, the riches of the world, the monies of the world, you know, all. How can you compare that to Christ? It's a loss. It's just dung. And why we preach Christ today, and all the time we preach Christ, is that you will fall in love with Him. That's the most important thing. to fall in love with Christ is the most greatest thing that can have ever happened to you. So you need to, you know, sometimes we need to repent of our sins, you know, and cry out to God, and He will open the eyes, He will open the minds and the heart, so we can love Him, we can glorify Him. The world will see Christ as a little baby at Christmas, you know, in the manger. But we don't see Christ that way. Some people see Christ as on the cross, crucified. You know, we don't see Christ that way. We see Christ seated at the right hand of the Father in His majesty. We see Christ, His glories, His inner beauties, that's what we see. How John said, Behold, we saw the glory of Christ. And where do you find the glory of Christ? Here. It's in the Word. Study, study, study. As I said before, you know, the more you study, the more you will glorify Him. It's just the opposite of the earthly nature. Earthly nature, when we see somebody, of course, we will first we'll fall in love, then later on we'll see little defects and so forth like that and more. But in Christ, it's just the opposite. Because it's an everlasting life, love. This is what God did. Gave the earth for us, but the greatest that He gave is Christ. Let's pray.